May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 860. From poisonous errors, pleasing cheats, and gilded baits of sin, which swallowed as delicious meats infect and rot within, Lord, pardon a backslider base, returning from the dead, ashamed to show his shameful face or lift his guilty head. Hymn 860.
Thank you. Let us read from the Word of God, reading in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 5. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offence, so also is the free gift. For if, through the offence of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offences unto justification. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. May the Lord bless to our understanding that reading from his word. Amen. O thou eternal, ever gracious and merciful Lord, once more we would bow before thee at the throne of thy grace. O Lord, we would come humbly before thee, for we are nothing. Lord, we are no better than the refuse, only to be thrown away. Our sin so great, Lord, how solemn that is, that if one sin should be upon our name, then it is as if we had sinned in all points of the law. And we have read of that justification and a solemn truth, yet we trust and believe it to be one that is precious to thy people. We plead that it may be made precious to us. Lord, where do we stand before thee, even this evening hour? Oh, may it please thee to reveal to us that the dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus, came into this world to save sinners, as Paul writes, of whom I am chief. And Lord, as sinners we plead that we may be taught that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth for our sin. Lord, we look unto thee. Thou alone hast the words of life, eternal life, as the disciple said. To whom else can we go? Lord, there is nowhere else to turn. If we look at ourselves, we are full of fear. We can look to no other one here below. And Lord, we dare not look into the darkness. That too brings the fear and the trembling. Oh, help us to look up and to see by faith one upon the cross, one suffering, bleeding, dying there. And Lord, we plead that it may be made known to us that that dear Lord Jesus came to this earth for our sin. We lay all these things before thee. O, do send forth thy word and thy spirit into our heart. Lord, we do plead for it. May there be an opening of the window of heaven and the pouring out of a blessing upon us. Lord, we plead thy mercy, we plead thy grace. And we pray for a thankful heart to acknowledge thy great goodness. Thou hast brought us thus far throughout the day. Lord, we plead, do remain with us. Do enter into our hearts. Do guide us into thy word and thy truth. And Lord, we plead thy blessing may rest upon us, that we might not have come in vain. We pray that there may be truly the work of thy Holy Spirit within. Lord, we look to thee and pray that thou would look upon us in mercy and visit us with thy salvation. Hear our prayers, may they be united prayers at the throne of grace. May there be those here this night who, as we've sung in the hymn, confess it before thee. that we truly may be made those sinners sensible of our sin, to acknowledge it in thy presence, for we must. Lord, we plead with thee that thou wilt grant that knowledge of sin pardoned, forgiven. Oh, we plead for the blood of the Lord Jesus. There is no other plea, and we do plead that it may be ours, that we may know that our sins are pardoned, cleansed in that blood. Lord, we seek these mercies. Oh, bring them unto us, we do ask of thee. Decide the doubtful case. And bless thy dear people who have gathered. We seek thy blessing upon them. Thou dost know their path. We pray that thy presence may be made known. Oh, that it may be with them. Lord, we live in dark days. We live in those times when we so often hear of the evil that abounds. And often, Lord, we confess it. It rises up within ourselves too. And we have to cry out, can ever God dwell here? And oh, that thou wilt subdue our sin. Subdue, Lord, every lust, every foolish and vain thought. Lord, that thou wilt control every action. Oh, may thy hand be put upon us in mercy. We seek thy blessing in this gathering, praying for the young, that thou wilt be with them too. Thou dost know each one. We think of many that have had those exams to sit at this time. May it please thee, Lord, to put in them a prayerful spirit. Lord, if that time comes when they shall hear those results, that they may prove that thou hast gone before, that they may receive the answer to prayer. May we see in all things, Lord, thy hand. For as David says in the psalm, my times are in thy hand, whether young or old. Lord, we pray thy blessing upon our young and rising generation. And plead with thee that they may yet be those that thou wilt call by thy grace. Lord, have mercy upon their never dying soul. And that if time continue, that they may be the next generation raised up to follow in the footsteps and paths of their parents and grandparents. And oh, that they may prove that thou art with them. Lord, reveal thyself to them, we plead of thee. Lord, speak to them, dear Lord, we pray. That they may hear thy voice. We seek thy mercy still. Be with each and those older in years, the parents, the many needs felt in the soul, in the spirit. Thankful for the mercies of daily life. But Lord, we pray that there may be something deeper. Though we go about in our day in those things that have been our lot. Oh, may thy hand go before us. And we seek thy blessing, Lord, upon the pathway. Lord, if thou hast blessed us, we do pray for that thankful heart. And Lord, when our needs arise, a prayerful spirit, we pray for a true confession of our sin and a humbling in the dust. Lord, do work mightily in our midst, we seek of thee. Be with thy dear ones, be with Zion at large, be with thy dear people here. And Lord, though we may not know each other yet, we trust that there may be that spirit within that, Lord, thou hast put, that work of grace, that, Lord, as we continue here below, we may be enabled to say that thou hast brought us thus far, that, Lord, it has been thy sovereign will, and that, Lord, in thy mercy we continue. and may it please thee to continue with us and with all of thy dear ones. We pray that thou wilt bless aged friends, those in old age, in weakness and frailty, and pray that thou wilt put strength in them. Pray for those in the homes that thy presence may be with them. O, do bless thy dear people and thy servants. Lord, as we've been reminded, thou dost know the purpose for this evening hour. One who should have been here, we would pray for him. Plead, dear Lord, thou wilt put thy hand upon him. Grant him to know thy love and fear, and Lord, the work of thy grace too. Do bless him in his soul. O Lord, have mercy upon thy dear ones. We do know the buffetings of the evil one. Oh, how he comes and fights against us. Would overthrow us if he could. And Lord, we have those downcastings and those uprisings. And we pray that thou would be the God of all help. And Lord, that thou would help thy people. Help us in the pathway. Bless thy dear servants, be with each. O Lord, do put strength in us. We're only poor, frail man at best. And like this evening hour, there has been that burden over the ministry. Lord, thou dost know. Oh, that which shall be spoken may be spoken before thee. And Lord, all that shall be said and done, thou wilt own and bless and pardon, Lord, all that is amiss. We seek mercy. Lord, our need is great. Our need is day by day, moment by moment, of forgiveness for sin. We pray and plead for it. Lord, who have it confirmed within. Oh, do come, Lord, and do bless us with the knowledge of thy love. Do touch us, we plead, and Lord, do raise from us that spirit of praise and thanksgiving. We seek it and plead it. Lord, be with those laid aside this day, those unwell, those unable perhaps to leave their home. Be with them where they are. We plead that thou wilt grant to them those restoring mercies. And we seek thy blessing. O Lord, how much we need thee. We look up unto thee. Oh, that we might come continually to the throne of grace. And do bless thy dear ones throughout this earth, wherever they gather in thy name, Zion at large. Have mercy upon our little denomination. Lord, do build us up. To grant a day of increase, could it please thee? An increase in faith, an increase in love. And Lord, may there be those added unto the church, such as should be saved. Lord, we plead for the work of thy Spirit. Lord, we do seek it. Hear our prayers for one another. O Lord, we lay all matters before thee at the throne of grace. Hear prayer for our nation, for those in authority over us, our Queen, the royal family, those in Parliament. Lord, thou dost know all about this land of ours, those solemn things that have been in past days and still continue, those evils that abound in our land. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Do we not deserve thy righteous judgment? How solemn are the days in which we live. But we would plead that thou would hear the cry of the remnant. As we read in the book of Jeremiah, those who cry and sigh over the abominations done in the land. Lord, we do cry unto thee. There are times when we tremble, when we fear. Lord, shall not thy judgments come? Oh, do have mercy upon us, we plead of thee. Do raise up those in places of authority who shall know thee, who shall be thine, that they may guide this nation into those right paths, that we may be delivered from that which is evil. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt confound those who plan and scheme to bring evil into the land. Those from other faiths, so-called false faiths, Lord, we call them. For thy word declares that there is only one true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. O Lord, do help us with our faith, Lord, to take that stand, the stand that thou hast given to us, having done all to stand. Where do we stand? O Lord, we plead that it may be upon the foundation stone. There is none other foundation than that which is laid. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, his finished work at Calvary, that sovereign work of grace. Lord, here is our hope and our plea. We plead with thee to grant it unto us, that we may make it known and be fearless in these things. We seek every mercy and grace. Lord, come once more, we do plead of thee. Open thy word to us, Lord, we plead. But Lord, it can be that closed book until thy Spirit comes. And we pray that it may be made precious, that we may remember the words of Peter when he said, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. May a precious Christ be exalted. May we be humbled in the dust. Lord, we look to thee for these many, many mercies. We seek thy blessing upon thy dear people, our loved ones too, those in our own place of worship. Seek thy presence with them there. O Lord, now do hear our poor prayers, our utterances. We confess, Lord, what they are. Oh, so poor, yet thou alone canst answer. Do grant the answers of peace. May it please thee, Lord, to come. Put life in us. We do plead of thee. Put strength in us. Strength of faith. Bring that live coal from off the altar. O Lord, one needs it upon his lips. Do grant the spirit of liberty. Lord, we do seek it. O, do be our help. To accept our praise and thanksgiving for thy many mercies. Lord, we would ever consider all that thou hast done for us. Lord, we plead that thou would continue to grant many mercies to us. We thank thee that they do come in accordance to thy precious word, that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And Lord, as we receive them, we pray that we may acknowledge them. Once more we plead for thy gracious help. This poor sinner stands before many, and Lord, he's no more than a worm of the earth. But oh, that thou wouldest set the tongue loose and open the ears to hear, and that, Lord, we may come together around thy word, and that thou wilt come to, that ere we leave thy house this night, we may be enabled to say that thou didst grant a blessing. We seek many mercies. Continue with us, Lord, we plead of thee. Go beyond our poor prayers, and do make up in giving where we fail in our asking. If we've asked amiss, do forgive, as we plead every mercy and grace, in Jesus' precious name, and for his sake. Amen.
Hymn 670. United to Jesus the Vine, we've life, strength, and righteousness too. But this he will teach us in time. Without him, we nothing can do. Our hope of performing what's right and strictly obeying our God, if not wholly built on his might, will leave us exposed to his rod. Hymn 670.
Seeking all needed help, we will turn to the chapter that we read in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 5, and read verses 3, 4, and 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 3, 4, and 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The opening of the chapter in verses 1 and 2 are those portions of faith that belong to the Church of God. They describe where we stand in that great day of the Lord Jesus Christ and his return. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you and I do not have peace with God, we're in a solemn state and condition this night. We know that this man is our peace. But have I received that peace through the work of the Holy Spirit? These are solemn things, separating. They will be in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. The dear Saviour told us clearly, the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left. Being justified by faith. The faith itself does not save. But God-given faith is that which is placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Our justification then is in all that he has done. Complete, full, free salvation. When he cried upon the cross, "It is finished," all of those who by faith believe in him are justified. Our justification is through his precious blood. Justification means this: to come before God and stand in his presence with no sin against our name. It has gone. It is blotted out as a thick cloud, says the scripture. It is taken away as far as the east is from the west. So far have I removed thy transgressions. These are the promises that God made to his people. And they stand. They stand for eternity. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There is no hope but in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to come to the third verse, and says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." Now, I confess before you that when trouble comes, when tribulations come upon us, it brings hardship. It casts us down. It brings us before our God. But we glory. What a word this is. In glory there will be no tribulations. They cannot be in the presence of God. But here on this earth, it is the pathway. Paul was writing to those at Rome, and in his writing he is expressing before them that which is the pathway. But we here below, we might say, we here and now upon this earth, where do we stand? We stand before a just and holy God. Shall not trouble come? Job says that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We do not rejoice in trouble, because when it is upon us, when we feel it. Most often we cry out. We, as it were, express that which is upon our spirit, that the trouble casts us down. Sometimes we cannot even do that. We only have to go a little further into the epistle, and you read in chapter 8 where the Spirit groans on the behalf of his dear people. Those groans that can't be uttered. They're not spoken, only heard. Dear friend, have you known trouble? If you're one of the Lord's dear people, it will come. It is the pathway. And they can come in various forms, these tribulations. I cannot tell you exactly how they will be for you, but you will know it when it comes. The trouble of your own heart, or you'll know that too. Or may the Lord teach you and I these things, that they are there for our teaching. They are there for us to pray about. Paul says here, but we glory in them. I believe he could look beyond them. He could see that they were there in the hand of God for our correction, for our instruction. They are there for us to point the way. The way is on our knees. The way is dependence upon him. The way is a way, often a struggle. We have the hardship set before us. And Paul writes also in this epistle of the good that I would, he says, I do not, the evil that I would not, that I do. And often these things bring tribulations upon us. And these were the experiences of Paul too. He expresses those things in his epistles, those perils, those difficulties, those things that he received in the pathway. It was the hand of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. But you see, these things must be founded upon the foundation. The foundation I read in verses 1 and 2. If we know that sweet spirit of being justified, if the peace of God has entered into our heart, if we know where we stand in the grace of God. And there is that spirit of rejoicing that has taken up our spirit in the past. Then we can take one step further and say, when trouble comes, we know it's in the hand of the Lord. And it will come. David writes of it often in the Psalms. He knew what it was. The Lord's dear people do. But they know this. There is a divine hand in it. A divine purpose for it. When we read again in Romans 8 that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, we can include these tribulations too. They're all things that work together for good. Your experiences, the Lord will give you. The Lord's hand upon the path as you go through each day. And yet in the midst of trouble, often you will find that the hand of God is there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, writes David in his psalm, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He knew that support and the strength of his God with him. The Lord's dear ones do know this. What does trouble bring? It brings fear, it brings care and concern, and sometimes we have to bring it all before the Lord. We think of those other scriptures, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then, dear friend, if I know anything of the pathway, you can't. You try. You bring it to the throne of grace. You leave it there, or so you think. In a little while, your mind goes back over all that has taken place. And the care and the burdens rise up again. Remember these words also, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And we seek to do so. But only the Lord can put the Spirit of glory in our spirit when trouble comes. When we know this precious peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, when we are built upon the foundation, when we have this standing, this grace, knowing the grace of God, then we can see tribulations for what they are. The hand of the Lord, the teaching of the Lord, pointing out the way. May the Lord teach us. We need his teaching. Or may he in his mercy reveal where we stand and in trouble bring us relief. I've been reading at home the book of Job and reading through slowly. When you read it, you understand the depth that he came into, why he said what he said. And none of us have walked his pathway. None of us. And it is very difficult for us because you cannot, as it were, receive what another has to bear. I cannot take your burdens upon me, neither can you take mine. It is ours, each one of us, to bear, to receive. And you'll see it, I trust, like this, when the Lord enters into the midst of it, when he brings his peace, when he says, but you stand in the grace of God, and you have the place to go to, the throne of grace, then you can see that what he teaches you is best. Then, and only then, can you glory in tribulations. They're not good things. They're hard. But the Lord gives them. He sends them. And the design, I believe, if I know anything of it, is to make you look up. I know those downcastings. Oh, you read the Psalms. Read what David said. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? And then he has to encourage himself. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, he says. Hope thou in God. Go to the next psalm, it says exactly the same again. He says, for I am cast down. He doesn't say that he was, he says he is. And he still has to cry out to his soul, hope thou in God. So that you and I too will know these things. Let us take a step further in verse 3. It says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And that's a hard teaching. I can confess my impatience over the years. And these things have come. What does frail human nature say? Why? Why do I have to bear this? Why has this come? But the Lord reveals it. In his time, in his way, he will open his hand and show you what is before you. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Just as a personal thought, I do remember one day I went to work. I continued my work as I usually did. And I had a message to go and see one of the partners in the firm. I went down to see him and was told in that moment that my work was finished that day. I was made redundant, is the wording that they used. I cannot tell you those feelings that I went through. I can certainly tell you at the time there wasn't much patience in it. But I can say this, in looking back, it was one of the most wonderful things that the Lord could have done for me. I see it now, not at the moment that it all took place. There was mercy in it. Deliverance from a difficult situation. You see, these things are in the hand of God. It was a great trouble at the time. But the Lord, he overrules. He brings forth the spirit of patience. He says, but wait upon me. these things are with me. And this is the teaching here. This tribulation worketh patience. I know that we are in that spirit of seeking the Lord constantly. Job did. He cried out unto his God. He said some things that he had to repent of in later days. He spoke like this. He said, I have said that which I understood not. And he comes before the Lord God and says, behold, I am vile. That is all that he could say. He had said too much. We are in that need of patience, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. The trouble is there for a purpose. There's a work of grace in it. That grace that says, rest upon me. And there we must leave it. Because if you're in deep trouble, you've got nowhere else to go but to the Lord. And he will reveal it in due time. There is no indication in the book of Job as to when his trouble would end. It ended in the Lord's time. So it will be with us. We cannot say that it will all be over at a certain point, only when the Lord brings that to pass. And patience, this patience that he gives, it will give to us a gracious spirit of experience. How much teaching there is in it all. The experiences of the soul, that the Lord was there, his hand in the matter. He has gone before. Now you can see, we're like this as creatures of the earth. We can only look back and see the way that the Lord our God has led us. We cannot see the way ahead. We know that that is human nature. Oh, that I could see him. Job cried out, didn't he? Oh, that I knew where I could find him, he said. But the Lord God was not there. He had withheld himself until that moment that it was his will to come. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. These things are for us to teach us that this hope, it's based upon not ourselves, not what we have done, nor where we are. Because all of these things, trouble, will take away that which is of this time. Because it will reveal to us that there is nothing that we can do when we come before God that will save our soul. That is the Lord's teaching. That is the Lord speaking to us. When trouble comes, the Lord alone can take it away. But when he does, when he works that patience that says, all these matters are with the Lord, I cannot change them, I must leave them there. Then the Lord says, ah, but look up unto me. You experience this understanding that the Lord is there. And the experience that he gives to you is this, a knowledge of himself, a knowledge of his power. That was what Job learned, wasn't it? The power of God, the hand of God. These matters all were before the Lord. And experience, hope. For glory is hope. What a precious thing is hope. Hope is something that we are given by the Lord himself. It's that spirit of hope that longs for that which is before us. It's that hope that says that one day, when the Lord shall return, we shall stand before him wearing that robe of righteousness. That in all which he has revealed unto us, we will stand in his presence in eternity and have that hope, the hope of everlasting life to come. For we read here, and hope maketh not ashamed. We will not be ashamed of this hope. It will not make us ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know when we're young, sometimes the young have that anxiety. I certainly did as a boy. For some reason, I confess it now, I was ashamed. I did not wish to be seen entering into the house of God. But I did not know any of these pathways. I was far off from God as any sinner could be. But the Lord, when he comes, when he reveals himself to us, then we can truly say, hope maketh not ashamed. What is our hope? What is it in? What is it for? It is in this. Let us go into the verse. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, that gives us hope. Do you feel the love of God in your soul? I believe that the Lord's people must, and they do. If you're one of his, oh, you must feel that which the Lord God will reveal. It begins with the knowledge of sin. To understand what we are before a just and a holy God. He will not give you a hope until you know your sin before him and plead before him and seek forgiveness. He will not give you a hope until the knowledge of your forgiveness has been received by the Holy Ghost. When the love of God is shed abroad within us, what it reveals a Saviour. It reveals the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It reveals the will of God for us. It brings us into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in that hope that he's given to us when the love of Christ, the love of God, is in the soul. Dear friend, have you felt it? You say, what do you mean? Sometimes, you know, when we're young, we may say these words, what does this mean? But there's a lovely hymn, isn't there, that says this, true religions more than notions, something must be known and felt. The love of God, when it is received, it's known, it is felt. You will feel it in your soul, in your spirit, and it won't make you ashamed. You won't be ashamed before God on that great day, before the Lord in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You won't be ashamed before anyone here on this earth. You will stand before them. What can you say? You can only say what Paul said, who loved me and gave himself for me. When the Lord puts that hope in your soul, it comes from the love of God. Oh, the love of God is such an important deep. To think that he sent his only begotten Son into this world to save sinners. That's where the love of God is, in mercy and in grace, in his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, have you felt it? Have you and I received it? This is our care and concern, that these words may include ourselves, because read what they say again, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So it's a very personal word. Are these things true of us? The love of God is shed abroad. It is put in your soul. You do know it. You have felt it. How is it revealed to you? Oh, you look to Calvary. You see there the one that died. And how he loved his people. He loved his church. He loved his bride. How could she live with him forever, not in her sinful state? That is an impossibility. Then he must, with all his power, divine power, cleanse her from her sin, so that she can be received in glory. How can this be done? It could only be done. Look at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We are the ungodly. not like God. God is holy, God is just, God is righteous, God is purity. We are unholy, we are unrighteous. But the Lord Jesus Christ dies, and that is the love of God. Dear soul, if you feel it, if you feel your sins forgiven, you must know the love of God. Because, as I've tried to say, it is revealed upon the cross. He is there, suffering, bleeding, dying, because of his love. Because he loved his people. And hope maketh not ashamed, because. You see, there's a reason why all of these things are in the pathway. All of these things come. Why trouble comes. Why we need to receive the work of patience and experience and hope. It's all because the love of God is in the matter, is in the trouble, is in the patience, is in the experience, and also in the hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory, we read, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. When the love of God is poured in, and your poor heart is softened by his love, it is humbling. It is God honouring and glorifying. He will have all the play, all the praise. You will praise him. Yes, you'll be like that dear man who was spoken to by Philip as he was taught, as he was in the chariot. And he came and preached unto him Jesus. And he went on his way rejoicing. Joy was in the soul. The Lord had spoken. He heard of that Redeemer. He was reading, we remember, in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Who was being spoken of was the question asked. Understandest thou what thou readest? And he did not at that moment. But when the understanding is given, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It will soften your heart, make you mourn over your sin, make you understand what you are before this just and holy God, fill you with a spirit of awe and wonder as to why you should be so loved. Why such love to me? Wasn't it in the hymn? Why? Who must forever lie in hell were not salvation free. That will be the language of your soul and spirit. The love of God is shed abroad. It will be put into the soul of his people. I believe that the dear man, Paul, here, he felt it as he wrote to those at Rome. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts. What a mercy if that is true of us. If this night, as we go to our homes, we can feel that love of God, what it has done, that precious gift, the gift of mercy, of a sweet hope, of faith, of an understanding heart and spirit, the gift of that hope of everlasting life. For this is what this hope has done. Put in us a knowledge of that which is to come, and hope that will be realized in heaven in eternity, because the love of God will bring us into the presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All of those who are there, they feel his love, they know his love. We noticed this afternoon the glory of the opening passage in the book of Revelation. How that John, as he starts to write to the seven churches, he makes this statement. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Unto him that loved us. That is the honour and the glory that is given. Now we can see where this glory takes us to. It takes us one step at a time to that place where we shall know the love of God, shed abroad in our hearts here below, in heaven above, in all its fullness, the expression of praise, the expression of our lips, of our tongues, the love of God shed abroad. It's a great deep. It's a deep that is mercy and mercy only. It's that blood that was shed at Calvary, that love that cleansed each soul from its sin, that set it upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God revealed within, and the hope that you have in it. You can say of it that the dear Saviour came to this earth to suffer, to bleed, to die for me, for my sin. Isn't that what your soul desires? If the love of God is in your soul, it is what you seek. You seek that confirmation of the Holy Ghost. You want it. I remember some years ago the Lord's dear servant, Mr. Reginald Morris, preaching. And he was speaking from the Song of Solomon, where it says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." And he said, in his very gracious, dignified manner, "If you've had one kiss, you'll want another." And how deep that thought was. Friend, it'll be true. If you once had this granted unto you by the Holy Ghost, that the love of God has been shed abroad in your soul, has been revealed to you in mercy and through grace, you'll want it confirmed. You won't want to live without it. It'll be your constant cry. It'll be your seeking. Oh, to know it. Is the love of God within? Do I feel it in my soul? Does it humble me in the dust? Does it bring forth a spirit of praise and thanksgiving? Does it make me look up unto that dear Saviour? Does it make me plead at the throne of grace? Does it make me seek Him? Does it put in me a spirit of hungering and seeking and thirsting after righteousness? Does it raise me up from the dust? Does it honour and glorify Him? Does it soften my hard heart? Does it set me upon the rock? Does it give me a sweet and precious hope? Or do I know these things? Do I know these things? Are they mine? Do they belong to my never-dying soul? Dear friend, if this is not true of us before we leave this earth and we die out of Christ, we have that solemn truth. We die. And we shall depart from Him forever. And you, if you feel the love of God within, you'll fear that. And you'll say, "I could not." Listen to the hymn writer. "I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from Thee." That's the spirit, the language of your soul. When the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, or you will say these words and mean them. You will plead them. You will wrestle with them. You want it again, to know that love of God in your soul, in our heart, in our very being. Has the Lord revealed it to you? Has He revealed it to me? Can I continue without it? You come to another day, if spared, and we come to the next day. Could you continue without the love of God in your soul? Without the knowledge that God came to this earth to save you from your sins? Because if He did, the love of God is revealed to you. If you have been loved from eternity to eternity, then it must be true of you that you are one of the sheep, one of the flock of God. The love of God is known by His dear people, I'm convinced of it. For it is revealed by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's given, you see. There's this precious truth of being given to us. We cannot take it. We cannot receive it of ourselves. The Lord gives it. All is free. All's the lambs, wrote one, didn't they? This is the truth. I give unto them everlasting life. It's all free. The price has to be paid. The price was paid by the love of God. The love of God sent His only begotten Son into this world to suffer, to bleed, and to die for His people, for His church. That's the love of God. that is mercy. Oh, may the Lord reveal it to us all. May we, if we leave this house of God ere this night, know a little of the love of God. I seek it too. Dear friend, we need it. Oh, that the Lord may reveal himself. Reveal that he is our God and that his love has been put within us. After all, is that not the commandment that was the first commandment given? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength and mind. How can we love him? John writes in his epistle, we love him because he first loved us. There's the reason for it all. Here's the truth in Christ Jesus. We love him because he first loved us. Now we know where this love comes from. Not within a sinner, but within one who is saved by grace. A great deep. How can we know it or fully understand it? And yet it is so. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. These are the comforts that we receive in the pathway. Going back to verse 3. Now, as we continue through all of these difficulties, the love of God, if it's there, it will, as it were, lessen the burden and the difficulty, lessen the tribulation, bring, as it were, a pathway through it. When you feel that love, he says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. His everlasting love. From eternity to eternity. It has never been removed, nor can it be. Whom once he loves, wrote one, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. Yea, I have loved thee. These precious truths, we plead them before the Lord, and the Lord might once more confirm them to us. Hope maketh not ashamed because, no, not ashamed of Jesus. We sometimes sing that hymn in the day of the baptism. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend, on whom my hopes for heaven depend. Know when I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere his name. Oh, may we never be ashamed of him. We do not want a hope that makes us ashamed. It cannot. If it's a God-given hope, you will not be ashamed. Neither will you be ashamed before God in that great day. I feel sure that's the meaning. You will be able to stand before him because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Because that mercy is there, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is upon us. That by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us, it's the work of grace. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit. It can be no other way that we ever know the love of God. Except it is his work and his power. When he comes, when he speaks, when he enters into the heart and the soul and the spirit, you'll know that it's been given to you. And you can say, with Paul here, which is given unto us. He states it as a truth. He states it as a reality. Because he writes it, I believe, feelingly. Because he goes on to argue, doesn't he, in that way. Listen to verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the love of God. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. There's your hope. That's what it means not to be ashamed, but to stand before this great and holy God, and to know we shall be saved from wrath through him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, I feel I've only scratched the surface. There is a depth here. May the Lord reveal it to you, to me. And may this be our prayer, our concern, that he will put the love of God into us, shed it abroad in our hearts. I know this, that if we felt it, it will not only humble us, Oh, how careful it will make us be in showing love to others, in doing that which the Lord has commanded us to do. He says that those two laws, they hang together in his answer in Matthew 22. That we should love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and strength and mind. And he says that's the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. I believe then the love of God will shine out. The Spirit of God within. That love that you bear to one another, to the Lord's dear people. Oh, it must be so. It's the Scripture. It's the work of grace. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Our plea is for this, to know more of it, for it to be a greater depth, for the power of it to be within. Oh, we plead and wrestle for it. May we be like Jacob when he cried before his God, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. What blessing do you seek? To know the love of God in your soul. It's the greatest blessing you'll ever receive. It's the mercy, the precious blood, pardon, peace, forgiveness, faith, hope, life, joy. It's the fruits of the Spirit. They're all contained in that precious gift. Oh, may the Lord put it in you and I. May that be our play. And when we receive it, oh, may we give to him the praise. And may we walk in that light in which he will lead us, for it will lead us to eternal day. May the Lord bless these few thoughts. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £740, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Henry Mercer next Lord's Day. The collections today are for Christian Concern and the Christian Legal Centre. Our friends at Fenstanton hope to hold their prayer meeting on Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 295. I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know, and seek more earnestly his face. Hymn 295.
take us home now in peace and thy safekeeping. And Lord, as we've sung that hymn, we pray that we may know the pathway. We do not know what is in store. It is thy will. And we pray, Lord, that we may be brought through. And that in that dying hour we shall be found amongst that number that no man can number. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.